The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome special guest, Roosevelt Radio. I also cover this week in the NFL, college football, the top movies at the box office, this weekend, and much, much more. Only tonight on Unsigned. Hey, everybody. How's it going out there? My name is Ryan. Welcome to Unsigned. It's a Tuesday night. Hopefully, everything is all right out there with you. Got a lot of great stuff to cover tonight, like I said, top of the show. NFL, college football, music, movies, boxing, UFC, what we had last week with Brad, the Spartan Wood from New York. Big news from that as well. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, who I would like to welcome to the Unsigned show this evening, hailing from San Francisco, California, the band Roosevelt Radio! Adrian and Joel, how's it going, guys? Adrian and Joel from Roosevelt Radio. I know you guys have been really, really busy, yeah. Man. I appreciate you guys stopping in, taking time out for us. Much appreciated.
No problem. Yeah, glad to be here.
Wonderful,
yeah,
man.
Well,
you guys have been one of the bands that we've been really anticipating and really looking forward to having on, because we really think you guys are. I'm a big fan of music. I know our producer Mike, when I first told him about you guys, he was like, "Man, these guys are really good," and I was like, "I agree." But we'll get into the music stuff. The holidays are coming up. Everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Do you guys have any big plans for the holiday weekend, or any funny stories or odd family stories you'd like to share with us tonight?
It's just going to be some tofurkey and maybe a little bit of the real turkey and hanging out on the ranch. It's going to be pretty mellow. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting out of the city.
As far away from tofurkey as possible. That's what I'll be doing.
Joel, you love tofurkey.
I probably would.
You know it.
If it ever came close to me.
They grow them up in Wisconsin, I thought.
For sure.
So I take you're not a dark meat fan then, is that right?
I prefer the white meat in the form of soy. No, I'll do a little white meat.
A little white meat? There you go, right on that.
I agree.
Well, with that being said, do you guys have any interesting family stories, anything odd that's ever happened to you on a Thanksgiving that you'd like to share tonight?
Joel, I thought this was
on you. Yeah, I don't really have anything odd. Thanksgiving is just always about family to me. It sucks because I'm from Wisconsin and I make it back this year with some of my close buddies. Actually moved down to San Jose, so I meet them in Palo Alto and just have a good time with some of my old friends.
Very
except
cool, man.
Right about. Watch.
Yeah,
the Packers.
I'm a Canadian boy. My Thanksgiving was like at least 3 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But, we had the dog, on the table, like eating the turkey, while we were having cocktails in the living room, and oh, that's great.
Yeah, but those are always good moments, hanging out and just, being around friends and family. I always enjoy that. Now, getting back in, how you guys got your name, I'm always curious about how bands come up with their name. Roosevelt Radio, which I think is a great name. Tell me about how you guys got started as a group and where the name came from.
The name came from, we were recording some of our original demos in a studio, and there happened to be a wanted poster, actually, at the front desk in the foyer as you walk into the studio for, what was his name, Joel?
Washington Jefferson.
Washington Jefferson, wanted for stealing, $50,000 worth of recording gear, musical instruments, and microphones. And we were like, wow. Washington Jefferson, that's a great name. But you're like, well, I don't know if it kind of works for us. Maybe for a hip-hop group, that'd be wicked, but not us. So then we were like, well, wait a sec. Our our personal studio is on Roosevelt Street. That's a president, just like Washington Jefferson president thing going on there. And so we're like, okay, let's try to use Roosevelt in there somehow. And so then we sent it out to our fans, and we got all responses, and we sort of pieced together what our fans felt was appropriate, and Roosevelt Radio came out of it.
Very
cool. Well, I'm interested, you know, since you guys kind of put out to the fans, was there any names that that came back that that almost made the cut that, you know, that were interesting or funny that you can remember?
Modern Flight was the one that comes to mind, I guess, to Joel as well. So that was definitely like a near one, but I'm kind of glad I didn't go. I'm glad Modern Flight didn't fly. Glad that one didn't fly, Joel. Aren't you?
I don't like that one. But
what else did we have?
What was first band name that was? It was like something. Mercury Goes Retrograde.
Oh yeah, exactly. That would work. I'd be in that band.
Oh, that was sweet. I don't know why we ever changed that.
Oh well, what can you do?
Someone out there has a band called Mercury Goes Retrograde, or names their band that because it's a sweet name.
There you go. Hopefully you're helping one of our listeners right now with band names. But Roosevelt Radio, great band name. Now, talk to me, either one of you guys, really. I mean, you know, obviously everybody has musical influences. What are your guys' musical influences growing up as a youth? I mean, you know, maybe something that your parents listened to that really got you started into music.
Growing up, my parents kind of were just listening to pop and stuff. My brother moved down to Texas for a residency program. And then he came back with all this country music that my parents grew up listening to. So I, of course, listened to anything else at the time. It was all into, like, playing guitar and learning Metallica riffs and stuff, kind of what I grew up playing. It's a lot of heavy metal riff rocking. And that kind of evolved into improvisation, which led me to really enjoy Phish and all those jam band scenes. So I got into that. So I played in a funk band for a while and did some good stuff. It's kind of weird how it come from like heavy metal shredding to pop riff rocking, but it's all the same thing when it comes down to it. It's just making good music.
Nice. Good answer, Joel. I like that. Yeah. I grew up on a lot of R&B, Motown, early 70s acid rock, whatever was in my dad's vinyl collection. Yeah, he's definitely a big R&B guy. I mean, obviously Zeppelin, Hendrix and things in the 60s, but my parents moved out to the West Coast, you know, in the late 60s, and immediately got into the R&B scene before it totally took off. And, you know, a lot of like sort of, average white band, that kind of like the white R&B and blue-eyed soul, I guess you'd call it. So that's definitely a big influence in my bass playing, being a bass player. So I like the big fat bass lines, blue-eyed soul coming through the 70s. And as a teenager, I mean, it's all over the map. I mean, you don't even want to know what I liked back then in the 90s. So I won't even discuss it.
Fair enough. Now, the first song we have tonight is the single The Siege, which is one of the first songs I've heard from you guys. Tell me about this song, The Siege, as you know, one of the singles you guys have off. I believe it's your first EP, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us about that song.
It's coming out on the 2nd, actually. Yeah,
wonderful. Okay.
Release coming out in 2012.
Wonderful. Well, this would be a exclusive here on the show. This is Roosevelt Radio with The Siege.
My steel.
That is The Siege from Roosevelt Radio here on Unsigned. I'm talking with Adrian and Joel. Guys, great song. And Sarah has a really great voice, man. You guys got yourself a winner as far as vocalist is concerned.
I agree. Sarah and Ben, they're doing a great job. It's fun to hang out with both of them and have them switch parts and do different songs together. It's cool to work that way. Have that, though.
Yeah, very nice dynamic as far as the music's concerned. Now, you guys, you know, obviously, you know, great band. You know, what are some of the things you guys most enjoy about playing in front of a live audience for your fans?
I really like when we're playing live, just feeding off the energy of, like, the set, the venue or the audience or just whatever how you're feeling that day. Just can let it all out, get in the zone, and just leave it all on stage. That's my favorite part. It's like therapeutic.
It's the sonic. Yeah, the sonic qualities. Big front of house. Like when you hear in your, what I love is when you can actually talk to your band members on stage, but the people in the audience are saying, "Wow, that was too loud." That's cool. Like, you know, it's like they're just blasting it out to the crowd, but meanwhile on stage, your volume is just completely like just subdued. It's amazing. I like it.
It's an interesting perspective there. Now, as far as you know, playing live, obviously you guys really, really enjoy it, which is great, great to hear. I mean, you guys had any like interesting or strange moments live at all? Anything like abnormal ever happened to you guys live?
Blowing up a bass amp on stage.
Yeah,
with this band. I mean, I've literally, I've like, completely exploded an 8x10 Ampeg bass cabinet. That's not because I'm a thrash metal player, but I've done it, and it sucks, and it happened. Joel, how about you? What do you got for us, Joel?
One time we were playing at Café du Nord or something, and apparently there was a fist fight during our set in the bar. Some guy got taken to the hospital. That was awesome. I wish that happened every show.
Very nice. Yeah, anytime there's a fist fight in the crowd at a show, that's always, you know, it's been a good night at that point, you know?
Exactly. You know you did something, right?
Exactly. Drink specials are working at that point, you know, if that happens, you know?
Yeah.
But now obviously, you guys mentioned you're working on the new album, and I appreciate you guys. I know you guys have been really busy, you know, working on the new album and also working on a video as well. Now, one of the videos I saw on your website was the emo video. I'm not sure, you know, you guys were making fun of emo music, which I thought was kind of hilarious, you know, the screamo and stuff. But were any of you guys involved in that emo video?
No, Joel or I were not involved in that. No, Joel was involved in giving a guitar lesson, I believe.
Yeah. We're just trying to. We got some videos on YouTube. We're just trying to get like a good, do some funny stuff, show our personality of the band.
Sure.
So that was a pretty good one. It was all Sarah and Ben. They just kind of popped up with that one, and I thought it was pretty good too. So I wanted to be in the next one. So I professed my love to Mountain Dew. Video.
Yeah,
I really liked the emo video. It really made me laugh. It was really, really funny and really well done too. The, you know, how they just, you know, were like, well, let's just tag emo to it. It was really good stuff. Now, yeah, you guys recorded.
That was the idea behind it.
recording the video for the song. Now, what song are you guys recording the video for?
Deadlock.
Deadlock.
Deadlock. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, we'll get to that song a little bit. But as far as, you know, the video itself, I mean, how was that an experience for you guys? I mean, is this the first time you ever really done like a full scale video in this manner before?
It's definitely the first time this band has done a full scale video for sure. So, you know, it's pretty interesting to see how everyone reacts behind a camera and, you know, it's really fun. Yeah. I mean, so it's good when you get your alter ego going and, certainly, you're basically, you know, the Play-Doh for whoever's producing it. So it's kind of fun to just do what people tell you to do and be simply cute in front of the camera.
That was definitely interesting.
The makeup chair and everything, and I'm sure editing is editing's always a fun adventure.
Yeah, it's on the editing room floor right now, so we won't know what happens until January or February, but, you know, we're just working on our EP right now. I'm currently at the Third Eye Blind studio at this very moment, hanging out with our producers and trying to figure out, we're just mapping out our recording, and, yeah, it's really cool. I got Chris Reed, Third Eye Blind's guitar player, sitting beside me right now, and it's pretty awesome. We're pretty geared up to do a pretty heavy-duty recording here.
Very cool, man. Well, best luck to you, and we'll go ahead and get to the song Deadlock now. What do we need to know about the song going in right now?
Joel, this is a song that Ben sings, so you get a little taste of him now, and it's just kind of a song about love, I guess, but in a way that has to do with vampires.
Nice, all right. Sense. No, that's great. This is Roosevelt Radio, one of their singles off their album, soon to be coming to you live here, Deadlock on Unsigned.
Demons in white clothes are walking in shadows. They're haunting the hollows of my head. In sweet words, vampires in Oxford are pulling the sheets above my head. My history shiver, I'm sleeping with silver. Nightmares that keep me from my bed. For you. Was it something that I said? I don't mean to alarm you with the ancients below you, but I sleep better in your bed. For you.
That is Deadlock here on Unsigned by Roosevelt Radio. And look for the video for that song coming very shortly. Also going to be on their new album here with Joel and Adrian. Guys, thanks for stopping in as always, man. Really another great song. I really dig it. You guys said the album will be due, will be finished sometime the end of the year into early 2012. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I think we're aiming for early spring release.
Hopefully, very nice. Not even you get February, March.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, so very, very soon. Are you guys going self-titled, or do you have a name for the album already?
No name yet. We're thinking about something.
Are we really, Joel? Really, what are we thinking about?
Thinking about it. I don't know.
No name yet. No name.
No name yet.
Maybe just call the name of the album. Thinking about it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you can probably title it "Thinking About It." So.
Well,
I actually prefer no name yet.
Fair enough. Okay.
Hasn't been named.
All right. Well, definitely keep us in the loop when you guys come up with a name. We'd definitely like to know about it. Switching gears on you guys a little bit. As you know, we talk a little sports on this show too. Do you guys have a favorite sport or a favorite team?
Hockey. Toronto Maple Leafs. I believe they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, which I'm very happy about. Go Toronto Maple Leafs, doing better than they have in 15 years. I'm so excited.
Nice. I'm a Canadian, so he's all into hockey. I am close to Canada. I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm just all into Wisconsin sports. Go Packers.
Yeah, your Packers have a big game coming up this Thursday in Detroit against, you know, division rival Lions. How do you think that's going to shape up?
We should take them. I really wish I would have went to Vegas at the start of the season, put $100 down on the Packers all the way undefeated, because I would have quadrupled my money easily.
Yeah, that'd be a huge bet right now. The way it's looking like they very well may be in the record books and go undefeated. As far as hockey, we don't talk a whole lot of hockey on this show, but I do know Sid Crosby made his comeback in hockey. You know, since you're a hockey fan.
Yep.
How do you feel about that? How do you think that is going to polarize the sport, especially considering there's no NBA right now?
Well, you know, I know that there were some NBA players on Twitter today that were tweeting, you know, that they don't follow hockey, about how amazing it is that a kid can come back after being ambulant for 320 days and come back and score 2 goals, 2 assists. You know, getting his first point within 4 minutes, of his return. And it doesn't matter what sport you're in, the fact that you can come in and dominate like that, this says a lot about you as an athlete. And, I mean, he's going to be filling the boots of Wayne Gretzky. He already has. I mean, we're talking, like, some pretty impressive athleticism, you know. Like, I don't know what to say other than, like, it's pretty awesome for our sport of hockey. And I think for this, I don't know, North American sports in general, definitely fills in the void. I mean, it adds some excitement to the sport. Hockey, you know, is such a small market, I guess, in the United States. You really only have Ovechkin and Crosby. You know, you got your couple big names, and Ovechkin's not even producing right now. Crosby's been out for almost a year, so it's kind of nice to see that energy come back to our sport.
I agree. I think it's going to be good for the sport, and I said this a while back on the show, even in the last season, that and some hockey fans didn't like what I had to say, but I thought that they should even scale back some of the teams like in Arizona and Florida and Atlanta, and I think they've started doing a little contraction.
Well, no, Atlanta's gone, man. Atlanta's now back. Atlanta's back in Winnipeg where it belongs. I mean, you know, Winnipeg went to Phoenix. Now we got, you know, roundabout way, Atlanta ended up coming back to Winnipeg. So we're really happy to have Winnipeg back. It's a great hockey town. They're a small market. They only have 12,000 seats, but they sell every single one of them out every night. So, and there's a lot of heart and soul. I mean, you got to go where the sports are loved. You don't go for the TV market. I feel like that's a real fallacy.
You know, yeah,
that's
I mean,
just my opinion, obviously, but.
When I think hockey, I don't think Atlanta, Georgia. You know, so but,
no, switch. Exactly. I mean, maybe there is a market for it, but I don't think the Sun Belt whole idea of the NHL was necessarily the wisest. I mean, some of those smaller market, you know, towns that are real true hockey towns, those are the places that can support, you know, a hockey club.
Yep.
You might not have 2 million people viewing them on TV every night, but you're going to be selling tickets and you're going to be, you know, the kids are going to be able to come and watch the games. And I think that's part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Now, switching back on the other side, recording the album, you guys have been at it for a while. I know you guys have been working really hard at it. What has this experience been like for you guys? You have some really solid songs right now. As far as the writing process, take me through that and how you guys develop and get together as a band and write these songs.
Go, J-Lo.
Oh, you want me to say this? All right. Usually there's, like, whoever comes to the table with the basic blueprint of a song, usually. Ben, a lot of the time, Sarah, me, or Adrian, whoever it be, will have the basic idea for something, and then we all just kind of piece it together. And then we do a lot of recording, listening, critiquing, and then songs kind of evolve as we keep playing them. And then we kind of always work to, like, a perfection that is the recording version of it. So we always try to strive for that. So lock in our parts, a lot of stop improvising, actually writing.
We're pretty precision. I mean, we're not a band that has, like, 30 songs that we just play every time we get together and just hope it goes well. We generally, I mean, as a band, I think we have 15 core songs that we've focused on for the last 2 years, and we're very selective about what we do, and we're very precision-oriented. So, you know, we have a high standard for what we think makes the cut for the band to play live, and from there, it's even higher cut to see what makes it onto a record. So, you know, Where we, as much as Joel and I love to jam, and, you know, I think we're pretty influenced by some of the same sort of styles of music, when it comes to this particular band, it's a little bit more precise. So, you know, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. I mean, every note's pretty much been orchestrated.
Very good to hear, man. We had a guest on a while back, iterate this, that, you know, I really enjoy, you know, bands that are, you know, not just making a single, you know, you guys are in there really working, taking, you know, your hard earned time and making an album and really putting a lot of effort into it. Not that other bands don't, but it's really good to see bands like you guys and other ones we've had on the show that really concentrate on making every single song on the album well-constructed, well-written and thought out. I really enjoy that. And guys, again, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. If people want to know about Roosevelt Radio, how can they get a hold of you guys?
RooseveltRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook. We're on MySpace. Check us on Twitter.
Roosevelt Radio. Just Google it. It'll get all that.
Yeah, it's all there.
And
yeah, we're always looking for
Twitter
more Twitter followers. I mean, you can join the thousands and join our funny, humorous tweets. And, you know, we'd love to follow you back. So, I mean, come on and join the party out here on the West Coast.
Right on, man. Wait,
yeah, we're always looking for critiques and stuff.
Yeah, I know you guys have been following me for quite some time, and I appreciate the support of the show. You know, we haven't been at the show very long, but, you know, we're really making some progress, and have guys like you on really means a lot to us. We appreciate it. We know you're busy working on the album. Best of luck to you guys. And if you ever want to come back on and want to promote something, have a new album, video, whatever it is, we're definitely there for you guys no matter what. will play out tonight with the song City of Fire. What should we know about this song playing you guys out tonight?
This song is one of our first songs, actually, and I feel like it's really orchestrated. It has some real sort of sonic qualities to it. It was recorded all on analog on a Calrec board. It was built in Russia back in the 60s. It's got a lot of texture to it. I feel like this is actually, this is my favorite song. We're really happy with this. I think our audience will enjoy it as well if they haven't heard it already.
Well said. Looking forward to it. Adrian, Joel, guys from Roosevelt Radio, thank you very much. Best of luck to you, and happy holidays.
Okay, happy holidays.
Cheers.
Thanks for having us on board, man. Good night.
Thanks, Tom, man. You too.
Take care.
This is Roosevelt Radio here, City of Fire.
On your back, I took your hand to build a life, mixing blood and turpentine, fill the sea with stormy skies, melt this fading town of mine. I haven't seen the sun for days, for days, for days. You've heard it all before, I know, I know. String together, made a science out of art, brought the quilt from every feather. If the city folded on itself, mixing blood and alcohol, so pull another from the shelf. Underneath this parasol, I haven't seen the sun for days, for days, for days.
That is Roosevelt Radio, City of Fire. And again, special thanks to Roosevelt Radio, Joel and Adrian, for coming on, hanging out with us. They're working on their album literally as we were talking to them in the studio, taking time out and speaking with us. Great to have those guys on the show. Best of luck to them. As we move on tonight here on Unsigned, we head into our... Pigskin Pick'em, the NFL season is underway, no doubt about it. Now, heading into this week, I am 86-58. I went 10-4 last past weekend. That leaves me at 96-62 heading into this weekend. But let's cover last week's games, take a look at it. Now, last Thursday night, holy Tim Tebow and a bag of donuts. The Jets head to Mile High Stadium, the Mile High City, and what was an ugly, ugly football game between Mark Sanchez at quarterback and Tim Tebow at quarterback. There was left much to be desired with John Elway sitting in the press box at the old Mile High City in Denver watching that display at quarterback. But when it was all said and done, Tim Tebow leads the Denver Broncos 95 yards on a game-winning drive. Tim Tebow has shocked the doubters and is now 4-1 as a starter this season. Unbelievable. It wasn't pretty, but the Broncos and Tim Tebow get the win 17-13 and send the Jets packing. J-E-T-S, Jets are in trouble and may not make the playoffs this year. Moving on here in the NFL, you have the Carolina Panthers heading to Detroit. The Lions coming from behind again. This season they were down 17 points. They get 5 touchdown passes from Matthew Stafford, 140 yards on the ground from Kevin Smith, a guy who was part of that Lions team that really didn't ever want anything. They bring him off the couch to come in because they needed a running back. There he is. Kevin Smith comes in, gives him 140 yards on the ground. They get 5 touchdown passes. In Cam Newton's own words for the Carolina Panthers, we put on a clinic on how to lose a football game. Lions get a much-needed win, 45-35 in a shootout at Ford Field. Bills head to Miami to take on the Dolphins. The Dolphins have won 2 in a row coming into this game. The Buffalo Bills have been fading fast this season, and apparently the Dolphins like their Bills Buffalo style. They get their 3rd straight win and a big-time win, 35-8. The Bills, hard telling where they are. They are officially roaming at this point. Raiders heading to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Raiders hitting the road, heading up to Minnesota. They jump out to a 24-3 lead. The Vikings lose Adrian Peterson, who was carted out of the game with a twisted ankle. Not sure if he's even going to play this week at all. The Vikings do get a late push in the game in the fourth quarter, but the Raiders hang on for a win, 27-21. Cowboys heading to Washington to take on the Redskins. I tell you what, the Redskins have been about as bad as anybody since their bye week. They have dropped 5 in a row, hosting NFC East division rival Dallas this weekend. And Dallas, to be honest, has been one of the most inconsistent teams of the season. It's been good, it's bad, it's Romo, it's not Romo. And this, it would take overtime to settle the game. The Skins had a shot but miss a 53-yard field goal. Dallas would at that point get the ball and win late and scalp the Redskins and send them on a 6-game losing streak and draw closer to the Giants in NFC standings. Cowboys win 27-24 in overtime. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that I thought would have a down year but not as down as they have been, heading to Green Bay, taking on the Packers. The Packers, who look unbeatable, the young Tampa Bay Bucks, look the part. They really did, and Deion Sanders will call it out for you.
Let me see this. Watch this play. A 1.
LeGarrette.
2-3.
Wanted.
4.
Did somebody tackle him?
Moment.
5. Stiff arm.
I think we're good. 6 people trying to end that blunt.
6 people trying Blunt. Good call by Deion Sanders. LeGarrette Blunt had over 100 yards on the ground and a touchdown, but despite getting smashed by the Blunt, the Packers do prevail and stay unbeaten 35-26 in Green Bay. The Jaguars heading up to Cleveland to take on my Browns. The Browns-Jags. It was a physical game, and I thought it would be. Very close all the way through, but the Browns somehow, some way, find themselves with a win, and then almost tried to find a creative way like they always do and try to lose it, but they did not lose. The Browns hold on by the skin of their teeth, literally 14-10. Bengals, Ravens, AFC North division battle. Ravens coming off that bad loss in Seattle last week, hosting the Bengals, a team that they have not historically played very well against. The Bengals coming down in the hunt for a wild card in the AFC. Not a lot of people thought they would be. The Bengals had the tying touchdown rule overturned. It was ruled incomplete. I thought it was a bad call. The Bengals got jobbed in Baltimore. They had to settle for a field goal in that drive, and the Ravens ended up taking it for the win, 31-24. Ray Lewis did not play in that game. The first time the Ravens took the field without Ray Lewis playing in a game since 2007. But I tell you what, this Bengals team, they're young. They look very, very good. Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, they have a nice nucleus. They play good defense. The Bengals are definitely going to be in the playoff hunt as the season carries on. Heading to St. Louis, we have the Seahawks versus the Rams. This is an NFC battle of two teams who are really, really bad. But on this day in St. Louis, the worst of the NFC West. Congratulations, Rams, on your 24-7 loss. Good job. Two horrible teams playing in that one. Cardinals heading to San Francisco. Here's another AFC West battle. Unfortunately, the AFC West has one good team, and that team is the 49ers. They host the Arizona Cardinals. They only have one loss in the season, the 49ers. And they showed they are the real deal. They have great defense. They have a premier running game with Gore. They look the part. 49ers take the Cardinals down 23-7. Titans heading to Atlanta take on the Falcons. This game was actually getting ugly. And I said earlier in the year that Matt Hasselbeck for the Tennessee Titans, I would be surprised if he finishes all 16 games. The guy's been injury prone and banged up for the last couple of years when he was in Seattle. He ended up leaving this game late in the third quarter with a bruised elbow, what they're calling a bruised elbow, and also possibly a forearm injury. Still not knowing whether or not he's going to play this coming week. But with that being said, rookie quarterback Jake Locker, who was taken eighth overall in the draft this past April, came in and really gave a spark to a Titans team that looked lifeless. Locker got his very first touchdown pass of his career and brought the Titans back with 17-23 with about 3 minutes left over in the game. But the Titans defense will not hold up their end of the bargain. They could not stop or even slow down Michael the Burner Turner when it counted the most in Atlanta, ran the clock out, keeping their playoffs hopes alive. Falcons win 23-17. In the Windy City, the Chargers taking on the Bears. You know, the Chargers were referred to as the Bolts. And like most lightning storms, you know, usually, you know, like, oh, man, it's a lightning storm. The Chargers are more like a lightning storm that's like 50 miles away, and you know it's really not that dangerous anymore because you're so far away from it. That's pretty much where the Chargers are right now in the Windy City. They take on the Bears, who are really one of the hottest teams in football right now. They can run the ball. They play great defense. They were lights out. Jay Cutler is a gunslinger. He's a big-time player. But the bad news is that Jay Cutler may be lost for the rest of the regular season for the Bears, who are 7-3 right now and right in the mix of the NFC Conference. Cutler's going to be out with a broken thumb. They have Caleb Haney, their backup, I guess is going to take him the rest of the way here, but remains to be seen. They have a relatively weak schedule. I think the Bears can go 10-6 without Cutler. It's going to be tough, but I think they can do it. But they take care of the Bolts 31-20. Here's a game, Sunday night, prime time. And you know what? Remember last week I said, you know, it wouldn't shock me. As bad as the Eagles have been, it wouldn't shock me if they beat the Giants, right? I took the Giants in this game because I thought, you know, Giants at home, coming at a bad road loss, you know, they're going to play good, right? No, actually quite the opposite. The Giants looked awful Sunday night. And you know what? No Michael Vick for the Eagles. They have Vince Young starting, who looked equally as bad as the Giants did, throwing three interceptions. If the Giants capitalize on any of those early turnovers by the Eagles, they bury them early. But the Giants don't. They basically are lackluster performance. They couldn't run the ball. Brandon Jacobs, the running back, was getting booed. The Boo Birds were out at the Meadowlands, and as well they should have been. The Giants head coach Tom Coughlin calls the team out in postgame for lack of effort, so on and so forth. And you know what? I'm absolutely 100% behind Tom Coughlin here. When Eli Manning took a cheap shot from the Eagles defender late in that game, not a single Giants player came to his aid. And that tells me all I need to know about that Giants team, and I think they're soft and they're in jeopardy of even losing that first place hold on the NFC East, which would mean the Cowboys would be right there. A lot of football to go. The Giants can't turn it around, but they did not show me a lot Sunday night. Monday Night Football, I told you it would be ugly, and it definitely was. The undermanned Kansas City Chiefs heading into Gillette Stadium, missing their starting quarterback, their starting running back, their starting corner, taking on the New England Patriots Monday night. That is not a recipe for success, and it definitely wasn't. It was one-sided all the way, 34-7. The tight end Brad Gronkowski really showing his skills at tight end for the New England Patriots. Four catches, 96 yards, two touchdowns, and the Patriots are all alone in first place in the AFC East. Familiar scenario for them. Now, this week we've got no more bye weeks. Everyone's playing this week. And we've got some big-time games. It's Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving feast. It's a triple-day header Thanksgiving. After you take your tryptophan nap, definitely check out the Packers and the Lions, which is going to be, I think, one of the best games of the day in the afternoon. Lions always play on Thanksgiving. This time they have something to play for, dethroning the Super Bowl champs, the unbeaten Packers. I think this is going to be a wild game. I really do. A shootout. I'm calling it a shootout. And you know what? As much as I would like to see the Lions upset the Packers, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm calling the Packers, and they stay unbeaten as of yet. Taking the Packers over the Lions on Turkey Day. The Dolphins heading to Dallas. Now, the Dolphins have won three in a row. They've looked pretty good doing it, playing some mediocre teams. I expect that winning streak to end in Dallas. Dallas should win this game and should win it easily. Big defense in Dallas behind the Ryan and his defense, I think, should prevail. Now, here's one. It's brother versus brother. This is the traditional family debacle, the family fight. Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, the 49ers heading to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, brother versus brother. These are two top defenses, two premier running backs. This is going to be a hard-hitting nightcap, just like most family get-togethers are anyway. This is going to be unbelievable. I don't know how much drinking will be involved at this point in the evening at your family Thanksgiving, but try to stay awake for this one. Ravens, 49ers, brother versus brother, Harbaugh versus Harbaugh. I'm taking the Ravens at home over the 49ers on a short week. Now, here's the rest of the games shaping up for Sunday. We have the Cardinals at the Rams. Here's another wonderful NFC West Classic. Flip of a coin. Both these teams are going to have two top 10 picks, I would guess. I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road. Why not? Panthers taking on the Colts. Could this be the week? Is this the week the Colts get their first win against the Panthers of Cam Newton? I know it's Cam Newton. I know, you know, he's dynamic, but you know what? I think this, if the Colts are going to win a game this season, this is the one to do it. I'm taking the Colts at home over the Carolina Panthers. Texans taking on the Jaguars, coming off a bye week, heading to Jacksonville, losing Matt Schaub for the season, but they do get Andre Johnson back. The Texans' defense is stout, and I think they're going to force rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert from the Jaguars to throw the football. They are not going to let Maurice Jones-Drew run. They're going to bottle him up. I'm taking the Texans on the road. Browns heading to Cincinnati. It's the Battle of Ohio. Remember a couple weeks ago, remember week one when the Browns had the Bengals beat, and then they quick snapped us and threw a touchdown pass with 4 minutes to go and beat Cleveland? I remember that game very well. And, you know, the analysis in me says, you know what, don't pick the Browns. Don't pick the Browns. The fan in me says pick the Browns. So you know what? I'm picking the Browns to upset the Bengals in Cincinnati this Sunday. Buccaneers heading to Nashville. The Bucs looked really good last week in Green Bay. I think they got up for the Super Bowl champs, and they found a way to run the football with LeGarrette Blount with play-action pass. That is their identity. If they stick to that, they should beat the Titans in Nashville. Vikings heading to Atlanta. The Vikings will set sail. This is not a trip. This is not going to be very pleasant. I think Atlanta is going to roll big time over the Vikings. You have the Bills heading to the Meadowlands to take on the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. The Buffalo Bills just want to get a home game. This is their third road game in a row, and they have been pummeled in two of them, and I don't necessarily think this game is going to be any different. I'm taking the Jets at home over the Bills. Raiders heading out to Oakland without Jay Cutler taking on the Raiders. The Raiders, hard telling what Raiders team is going to show up. They're still working on Carson Palmer. Part of me wants to say, you know, the Raiders try to find a way to win it. But with that being said, I think the Bears defense and special teams are going to be key here. I'm taking the Bears in a close one. Redskins heading out to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. They've lost six in a row traveling out west to Seattle. I don't think it's going to do them any favors. I'm taking the Seahawks in an ugly football game. Patriots heading to Philadelphia. This Philadelphia team, you don't know what you're going to get. I don't know if Vince Young is playing. I don't know if Michael Vick's going to start. Hard telling, but I tell you what, they have the recipe for beating New England. They have a good, solid pass rush. They have great corners that can play bump and run coverage. With that being said, I'm going to take the Eagles at home over New England. Risky pick, I know, but I'm taking the Eagles at home. Broncos, holy Tim Tebow, heading to San Diego. San Diego has not looked good of late. Tim Tebow is 4-1. I think he's going to come down to earth this week, I think, right? Tim Tebow's got a – I mean, he's really not a good quarterback. I guess he's 4-1. I know it's all about the wins and losses. I've seen him play a couple of these games. He does not look very good at throwing the football. I'm taking the Chargers at home over the Broncos. Here's a Sunday night primetime game for you. The Steelers heading to Kansas City. Yeesh. Put the kids to bed early for this one. The Steelers against KC. I'm taking Steelers all the way. This could get ugly. Monday Night Football has a potential to be a very big game. The New York Giants heading to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Eli Manning and his dad, Archie Manning, obviously played for the Saints. I just wonder, you know, Archie Manning will be in attendance. I wonder how many times they're going to show Archie Manning on camera for Monday Night Football on ESPN. I don't know what the over-under is for 50. I'm taking over on 50. But this is going to be a tough contest. I think New Orleans is going to put the voodoo on the Giants. I'm taking the Saints. They are tough to beat at home on Monday night. And this has been your Pigskin Pick 'em. Hey, Major League Baseball news. Justin Verlander also won the Cy Young Award, also is a pitcher who wins the MVP. It was announced yesterday. He was the first pitcher to do so in 25 years. Verlander was 24-5 with an ERA of 2.4, 250 strikeouts. Verlander, the 28 first-place votes, that's 280 points total in the MVP voting. He became the first pitcher voted MVP since Oakland's Dennis Eckersley in 1992 and the first starting pitcher since Boston Red Sox Roger Clemens did it in 1986. Ryan Braun won the MVP for the National League, who also got his start here in Nashville for the Nashville Sounds. Congratulations to both of those gentlemen. I know a lot of baseball traditionalists are not happy about Verlander winning the MVP. Look, it's happened before. The guy was lights out. He was 24-5, and if it wasn't for Verlander, the Tigers don't even make the playoffs. Well-deserved MVP vote, and he also got the Cy Young as well. Moving on here tonight, my name is Ryan. This is Unsigned. Thanks for hanging out with me. We're going to head off the path, something we do every week on the show. This is where we take a step back from sports. We talk about things non-sports related, such as movies, music, these type of things. Leading off tonight here on Off the Path, we have Bruce Springsteen on his official website. The Boss and the E Street Band announced that they will be hitting the road in Europe and also in America come May and July of 2012, and also hinted that there may be a new album in the works as well. So look for The Boss coming to a town near you. Here in 2012. Now, also another news, the 40th anniversary of the Doors classic L.A. Woman is set to be released in a two-disc reissued with an alternate takes, including Love Her Madly, Riders of the Storm, and the title track as well. And also never-before-heard songs such as She Smells So Nice. The upcoming release will also be coupled with a DVD as well, making the album basically about the band making the album and the years of the Doors. L.A. Woman reissue is due January 24th. You can also hear an exclusive preview of the song She Smells So Nice at RollingStones.com if you're so inclined to do so. Moving on here on Off the Path, Mudvayne's Chad Gray tweeted on his Twitter account that the band is taking a hiatus into at least the year 2013 while Hell Yeah gets ready to release its new album next year and a tour that's going to be coupled with it for a couple years. Hell Yeah is just now signed with 11/7 Music. Lollapalooza news, 2012. Lollapalooza in Chile and Brazil this year will feature bands such as the Foo Fighters as the headliner. Also, Cage the Elephant, Foster the People, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and others will also be on the bill. Jane's Addiction will be at the Brazilian show. Here's your top movies at the box office this week, starting with number 10, working our way up. Number 10, The Descent, $1.1 million. Number 9, In Time, $1.7 million. A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas at $2.9 million. J. Edgar at $5.9 million. Tower Heist, $7.1 million. Number 5, Puss in Boots, $10.8 million. Number 4, Jack and Jill. I said my thoughts about this. This is probably one of the worst Adam Sandler trailer films I've ever seen. Coming in at number 4, $11.7 million. The movie Immortals, $12.3 million. The movie Happy Feet 2, kids film, $21.2 million. Now, here's your number one film. Teenage girls everywhere have been flooding the streets, I'm sure, at movie theaters and camping out. And also, you know, hey, it's a vampire movie, but nobody gets bit by a vampire in the movie. So I don't know how it's a vampire movie. It's Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. Get this, $138.1 million opening weekend. Wow. You know what the worldwide number is? Over $280 million opening weekend for Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. This leads me to the conclusion that I should write a movie about werewolves who don't turn into werewolves and sell it. I mean, I unbelievable that this movie is making that much. I've seen some of the films. They're actually not bad movies. I just can't believe the buzz that's, you know, been created with these movies, and I guess credit marketing for that. This has been Off the Path. My name is Ryan. Moving on tonight, we have college football. I tell you what, I said last week that it would be crazy, and I didn't think it would be this crazy. Friday night kicked it off. Friday night, we saw Oklahoma State, number 2 in the country, undefeated, lose to Iowa State Friday night, and the BCS mess was underway. And then comes Saturday, Lee Corso, who's famously known for making picks on ESPN College Game Day, would set the table for what would be an unbelievable Saturday in college sports. Here he is.
Can you pick against SMU Blue? Look at that one there. Red, white, and blue. USA. Ah, fuck it.
Ah, F it, Lee Corso said. And you know what? He said that, and the games were underway Saturday, and what a debacle it was for teams in the top 10. So number 2 had already lost Friday night. So then Saturday night, we see the Oregon Ducks head out. They get a home game. They get USC at home, a division rival in the Pac-12. They miss a field goal in the late fourth quarter that would have sent it to overtime and lose to USC. Shortly after that, the Baylor Bears, led by who I think should probably win the Heisman this year, Robert Griffin III from Baylor, who throws a touchdown, leads a touchdown drive, and then throws a touchdown pass with 44 seconds to go to beat number 5 Oklahoma in a big-time upset. Another top 10 team that falls is number 8 Clemson Tigers. They get blown out by NC State. 2 weeks ago, we had Boise State lose on a missed field goal. We had Stanford lose. We had Oregon, who just lost. We have Oklahoma State, who just lost Friday night. Oklahoma State lost Friday night. You have Clemson that lost. You have all these teams in the top 10 that topple. And you know, a couple weeks ago, I said, I don't want to see Alabama-LSU rematch. Well, it's looking like we're going to have to see it, because when the BCS polls came out on Sunday, it was number 1 LSU, number 2 Alabama, number 3 Arkansas. SEC West, 1, 2, and 3. Now, here's the beauty of this whole thing right now. College football, there's a lot of football still to go. There really is. A couple more weeks left. Now, Arkansas and LSU play Saturday afternoon at noon. Don't sleep on that game. That is going to be a big-time game. That might be the best game of the day. It's in LSU, yes. Arkansas playing with heavy hearts. News of their backup tight end who ended up having a heart condition. Very sad story. Tight end lost his life. Feel very sorry for his family and also the, you know, the college. Very sad story. But with that being said, LSU-Arkansas, this game is going to really determine who's going to play for a national title. It really does. And also, don't forget about Alabama playing their arch rival Auburn in the Iron Bowl Saturday night. Now, traditionally, regardless of record, most rivalry games are this way. It doesn't matter what your record is. Alabama and Auburn. I tell you what, I think Auburn's probably looking for some payback here, and vice versa. I mean, it's the Iron Bowl, so both these teams want to beat one another really bad. I don't think Auburn has the team to upset Bama, but you never know in these rivalry games. The upset alert is LSU-Arkansas, because if that happens, that completely throws the whole thing out of whack. Unbelievable. Also, other big rivalry games coming up this weekend in college football. You have Georgia versus Georgia Tech, Oregon versus Oregon State, Virginia versus Virginia Tech, UCLA versus USC, and what may be the best rivalry in college sports, that is Michigan versus Ohio State. All big games this week in NCAA football. But keep an eye on that LSU-Arkansas game, and that's going to go a long way to decide who in the heck is going to play for a national title. As it stands right now, it's going to be somebody from the SEC West and someone from the SEC West if it were to happen this weekend. But a couple games to play, and you still have the SEC Championship game as well. Hard to tell how this thing is going to pan out. It's going to be very interesting to see. I got UFC 139. You know, we covered this last week on a Wednesday night edition with Brad the Spartan Wood. Again, thanks to him for coming on. Does a great job covering the fights. And I said on my notes last week that the Shogun, Marcio Shogun Rua, and Dan Henderson, that 5-round would possibly be the fight of the year. I had no idea it would probably be one of the best fights of all time. I tell you what, unbelievable fight. It goes to five rounds. Henderson, Dan Henderson gets the W, and this is what Dana White said, the president of UFC. That's without a doubt one of the top three best fights ever in MMA. I have such great respect for both these guys for digging down deep in a five-round fight. It was like watching Ali versus Frazier 3. It was incredible. Fight, probably one of the top fights he's ever seen. That came directly from the UFC president, Dana White. I tell you what, if you placed any bets on the show off our picks, me and Brad Wood, you did very well because we picked every fight except for one, which we were on the fence about, and that was the Kingsbury-Bonner fight. But every other fight we had right down the line and called it. So if you place some bets on our picks, if you want to share some of your winnings, I'm all for that. Get a hold of me at Ryan_unsigned. I'll definitely take my cut. Also, boxing news. December 3rd, this just came out today. Miguel Cotto taking on Antonio Margarito was just approved by the Boxing Commission today in New York City. This fight could take place at Madison Square Garden. If you don't know, Antonio Margarito was suspended for a long time and couldn't get sanctioned to fight in the state of New York because of him putting plaster on his hand wraps. So with that being said, these guys are going to take another go at it. Miguel Cotto and Antonio Margarito, December 3rd at Madison Square Garden. That should be a good one if you're a boxing fan. That concludes. That's all I got for you tonight here on Unsigned. My name is Ryan. I want to thank Roosevelt Radio for coming on. Great group of guys. Also, I want to thank Mike, our producer here at Omnis TV, and a shout-out to @CookerCarolyn on Twitter. My name is Ryan. This is Unsigned. Seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so.